The Major League Baseball General Managers meetings are underway. They started today in Orlando, Florida. The Cardinals, of course, are hot on the trail of Miami Marlins slugger Giancarlo Stanton. They're also in the market for a closer. And according to John Heyman of FanRag this morning, reporting that they're interested in free agent starting pitchers Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish. All of this with the loss of their own free agent, starter Lance Lynn, who could or could not be back with the club, depending on what happens here over the next few weeks and maybe months. And my next guest may be able to offer a little more insight into that than me.
3-2. Carpenter, a drive into deep right. Dillon with an exclamation point. Grand slam! Grand slam, Carpenter! The Cardinals walk it off in 11.
That's one of the many dramatic moments that's become a signature of my next guest. He's the TV voice of the Cardinals on Fox Sports Midwest. He's Dan McLaughlin. Dan, welcome to WJBC.
Good to be with you, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And I wanted to have you on today specifically because the GM meetings are underway and we are perhaps going to see more turnover with the Cardinals than we've seen in several years, directly because they've missed the postseason the last 2 years. And we're talking about Giancarlo Stanton. Let's get right to him. They've said a big bat is their number one priority. He is the biggest of the bats, presumably, that are available. How likely is he to be in a Cardinal uniform next year?
Well, I definitely think they're going to go after him. I definitely think that the interest is there from the Cardinals' perspective, but it takes two to tango. And in particular, with a guy like Stanton, he controls his own fate because he has a no-trade clause. Everything that you read is that if he's going to be traded, more than likely it would be to a coast. And you have to remember, Mark, that, and that's from his perspective, you know, any team could have had him. He was not claimed on waivers, but he was owed so much money, teams shied away from it. And that's something that the Cardinals do have a lot of. They got a lot of cash, especially with a new TV contract that kicks in this year. They've done so well in terms of being able to sell tickets, $3.4 million last year coming through the turnstile. So, you know, cash wouldn't be the problem, and I don't think a package, if it got to be, let's say, lesser cash to pick up the deal and that the Miami Marlins would pick up more of the deal than maybe they would like, then you've got to give up prospects, and the Cardinals have that too. So either way you want to go in to this deal to try to make it work, and it's not easy, it's complicated, but the Cardinals would definitely have both things that would be to the liking of Miami.
Yeah, this situation is very interesting to me, Dan, because this is the kind of deal that the Cardinals always have avoided in the past. The big money for a long contract, toward the end of which you just expect the player not to be as productive as he is at this point, and they've always been reluctant to give up prospects. And you would have to think that part of the package, at least one that I saw reported as a possibility last week, they'd have to give up somebody like an Alex Reyes or a Luke Weaver, plus other players along with that. And they've always been reluctant to do that in the past. But again, you go back to the fact that they haven't made the playoffs the last 2 years, and their approach may be different. No?
I agree. Yeah, I think that's the right way to look at it. I think there's a sense of urgency that the team was good, not great, and that if you can get a signature bat, that's putting you on your way to being a better team. Like I said, though, before, the way you have to look at it, and I guess there's, what, 290, 295 left on the deal, a lot of times the way that these things work is that, okay, how would you evaluate the player right now? Just take the money out of the equation. Well, we look at him, and I'm just saying in general here, well, player X would be 6 years, and we value him at 25 per. You do the math, that's what we value him at. And then if you take player X that has a contract that's longer than the 6 years, many times it's the player that he's being traded from, the team, that would pick up the rest of it. Where this gets different is that the contract is so big and so complicated that trying to figure out those numbers and then equate that into what you'd have to give up prospect-wise is very, very difficult. You know, the one thing you got to remember with Alex Reyes, he hasn't pitched in a year, so that's something to keep in mind. Sandy Alcantara is a guy that a lot of teams love. There's a couple of young bullpen guys that the Cardinals have in their minor leagues that they are very, very high on. So sometimes these deals have more tentacles than what you read, and I would assume that that's probably the case with this particular deal as the Cardinals move forward in trying to get him.
All right, let's assume just for the sake of our discussion that the Cardinals work a deal, the Marlins are willing to pick up part of the salary, the Cardinals sign off on the prospects and players that the Marlins want in return for Stanton. He becomes a Cardinal. Does that disqualify the Cardinals from going out and looking at a Josh Donaldson or a Marcell Ozuna or still being able to sign a closer like a Wade Davis or Greg Holland or Addison Reed?
No, I don't think so. I think what you have to look at is that if they get him, I mean, it's a significant portion of your budget, clearly, because of the money that is involved with his contract. But they have other needs. You know, I think the back end of the rotation is something that they've got to take a hard look at. There's a lot of what-ifs with that rotation. And if you looked at how postseason play unfolded this year and how the Cardinals did it in 2011, which I thought they were the ones that set the blueprint for how you do it, especially with the extra rounds, is that your bullpens become significant. And analytics is telling you more and more that having a starting pitcher go more than two times through a lineup is not advantageous. So your bullpen has got to be better. So my point to the answer your question is, even if they get a Stanton or a big-name bat, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
All right, let's talk a little bit about when you talk about the work that needs to be done in the back end of the rotation. Is there any chance of bringing Lance Lynn back? And I say that even with players like Jake Arrieta out there or Yu Darvish or the other free agent pitchers that may be available, because to me, Lance Lynn is a very dependable pitcher. He's going to give you 200 innings. He's going to have a chance to win 15 games. He's always going to be among the better ERA pitchers in the league. He gives you a chance to win. And so knowing that, knowing him being in an environment where he's been successful, what are the chances of the Cardinals bringing him back?
Well, I think the chances, I don't know what the percentage would be. I think you'd get a better idea probably after Christmas or, you know, in the month of December at the winter meetings. And I say that because the market will be set with the other two that you're talking about and some others that are on that fringe as well. And then at that point, you know, then you understand the market for Lance Lynn. I agree with everything you said in terms of describing him. The one thing you have to remember now is that the 200-inning pitcher is kind of becoming obsolete. And that's what I was saying before, the importance of your bullpen. Now they're looking at 160 to 165, 170, and anything else on top of that is gravy. And there's elite guys that do it, but there's not many that give you 200 innings. Now, could he go out and do that? Absolutely. But to say that, you know, that's the one point that you're going for and sticking with, it's kind of become an obsolete look at it. It's a lot of different variables that come into play with this. So when I look at Lance Lynn, sure, he could be back. I know he loves it in St. Louis, and I've had the chance to text back and forth with him, and we'll call his off-season home partially in St. Louis and down in Florida where he's got family too. And so, you know, I think that would be important for him as well, is that he'd love to be a little bit closer to his family and have a chance to train in Florida in spring training. There's a familiarity with the Cardinals. So if we know what the budget is and where the Cardinals sit, where they're at that point in the offseason, sure, there's a chance he'd come back. I don't think it's likely, but never say never.
Yeah, I just bring up Lynn because I see him as maybe at the end of the day being the best value of the pitchers that are there. You know, what's going to happen? Is Jake Arrieta going to win one or two more games for you than Lance Lynn or Yu Darvish? Lynn just seems to me like he might be the best value. On the other hand, the second-tier guys like Lynn end up being the ones that you have to, you know, you have to play chicken. You either sign one of the top guys because those guys at the bottom of the scale are going to wait. They become more valuable. They have a chance to make more money if they're at the end and demand is higher for them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, absolutely, Mark. You know, you're going to see the bar get set. And usually, you know, all teams have an idea of what the market will bear, but it just takes one crazy signing to set everything off in a different direction and really kind of put it in upheaval with what you thought. So there's the idea of, okay, here's what we've set aside budgeting-wise for player X, but that is only going to be contingent on what somebody ahead of him signs for. And that's, at this point, to me, that's the unknown. I think a lot of people have ideas and will be close, but again, crazier things can happen.
All right, how about a prediction from you? There's no penalty if you're wrong. Who winds up on the Cardinals?
I'm wrong all the time, so it's good.
So am I. When spring training opens, who is going to be on the Cardinals that's not on the Cardinals now?
Oh, boy. Don't hold me to it. I would say either Wade Davis or Greg Holland. I think either one of those would be there. And I'm going to say Stanton. I'm going to say that the Cardinals will match up, somehow get that no-trade clause done with, and there's various ways that you can entice a player to do that. But I think Stanton. I think he's the guy. And, you know, going forward, you look at having that marketable star in your lineup, and the Cardinals haven't had that for a couple of years now. So it's not only the production that he brings, but also the interest and excitement and really re-energizing the fan base. And at this point, to me, that's very, very important. If you have apathy, that's not a good thing. I mean, you want people to be very interested and excited about your club, to come out every night and support them. And I think a guy like Stanton not only shows clearly that the club is trying to win by taking on a big, big contract and taking a chance, quite frankly, but number two, he's moving into the prime of his career and has a chance to put up tremendous numbers and is the preeminent power hitter in the game today. So I just think you're checking a lot of boxes if you go out and get him. So those would be three guys I would say that I'd look at, either the two closers, one of the two, or Stanton as well.
All right. Before we wrap it up with you, Dan, I just want to talk about what you do on television every night during the spring and summer. We enjoy the broadcast. We can tell you enjoy the broadcast. Some of our listeners may not know that you are a St. Louisan. You grew up going to Cardinal games, wanting to do exactly what you're doing right now. Just talk a little bit about that and, you know, what a wonderful opportunity it has been for you and what it's like to be up there announcing for your hometown team.
It's really a blessing, Mark, because, you know, so many guys that do the various teams in all sports, even college but certainly in pro sports, and it's MLB, NHL, and the rest, you know, a lot of those guys, and I don't know what the percentage would be, but they're not from that town. You know, their allegiance is to their hometown as a kid. You know, they've got, maybe they grew up a Red Sox fan and they're doing Team A. You know, it's not Boston. So to be able to do your hometown team makes it extra special. And I try to put everything I have into these games. I look at it as being an outlet for a lot of people that have real jobs and work hard, and they come home and they just want to watch a little baseball. So I try to make it fun. I think I call it like a fan. And it's just been the ride of a lifetime. I'm coming up with 21 years next season, and I didn't think I'd make it past 1 week, and it's just been incredible. It's just been, like I said, a dream come true, and this is what I always wanted to do. I played high school baseball and college baseball, and that's how I put myself through school, but I never really wanted to be the next Ozzie Smith. I wanted to be the next Jack Buck, and I'm not saying I am. That was just my goal to be an announcer, and I'm living my dream. It's the best.
Well, just about one more minute left in this segment, and then we'll let you go. But in what you do, you are in a unique position as a play-by-play guy. And what I mean by that is most ball clubs have a play-by-play guy, and they have their analysts. But you have a team of rotating analysts. You work with Rick Horton. You work with Al Hrabowski. You work with Tim McCarver. And you work with Jim Edmonds, and you have a chemistry with all of them. And let me just say this. In the short time that he's been doing games with you, I found Jim Edmonds to be one of the best game analysts, in Major League Baseball. He's really a natural.
Yeah,
he's a natural at it.
Yeah, I always considered him and Yadi savants. Like, they pick up things that even the greatest in the world, Major League players, and they're all the best in the world at what they do. Even the worst guy on a 25-man roster is an exceptional player. They pick up little things that I just don't see. And the fact that he has retired fairly recently, within the last 10 years, I think gives the broadcast the freshness of, and that's not to take away from the other guys or myself, it's just a different viewpoint. And seeing, you know, understanding the, how they use analytics and the video and the various things that go into being now an everyday analyst and what happens every day in baseball. So his look at it is unique, and it's great. I think one of the things that makes our broadcast fun is that, you know, Tim McCarver is obviously a very popular player back in the day, and now we're seeing him as a hometown guy called the Cardinals. He's come full circle. That's the 60s, a great era of Cardinals baseball. Al was part of the 70s. Ricky was a part of the very popular 80s, and now you get Jim Edmonds, who's one of the most popular players in franchise history. So with all that, I go in and just try to make it fun. My goal every night is to make it fun, because I think that we've gotten away from what this is supposed to be, which is entertainment. It's not life or death. It's entertainment. It's a chance for people, like I said before, to get out of their daily lives, turn on their TV, sit down, have a cold one, and relax. And I hope that's the way it comes across. And I think all four of those guys make that, they do make that happen.
Well, thanks for sharing some time with us, Dan. We appreciate it. And I didn't write any of your predictions down, so you can be relieved about that, okay?
Yeah, don't hold me to it, because I know everybody's got wild theories right now. Everybody's got a prediction, and time will tell. But I know they're going to try to make this a fun year, and you know they feel the pressure of it. They want to make sure that fans are enjoying themselves, and you don't make the postseason 2 years in a row in St. Louis. It's like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? So they're going to do their best to put a very, very competitive product on the field.